Now it's this week's edition of Food Friday. A lot of people are getting into baking or back into baking during the current stay-at-home orders. And some people have written that they've turned to baking as a way to relieve anxiety and share something sweet with their loved ones. Our next guest is a prolific baker who says that baking while remaining at home is, in a way, a show of faith. Dori Greenspan is a baker and cook. She's the author of several cookbooks, including Everyday Dori and Dori's Cookies. Dori, welcome back to Central Time.
So good to be with you again. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm okay. Are you baking?
I've done a little. You know what I've done is I'm a big bread pudding guy, and I have my freezers often stuffed with bread butts and old rolls that didn't get finished and things like that. So I've been exploring the freezer and making bread pudding, which my kids hate, but my wife and I will eat it. What are you baking lately? I know you've got recipes up and things like that, but what's your comfort baking?
Well, my comfort baking is cookies.
Yeah.
And I've got. Actually, I'm home with my husband, our son, and his wife. And Lin Ling, our daughter-in-law, just made world peace cookies. So I'm looking at some brownies that I made and some world peace cookies that she made. And it's a chocolate day here. But my husband's a bread baker, and so I make bread pudding as well, because we, like you, have all those little ends and small pieces. Yeah.
What is a world peace cookie?
Oh, the world peace cookie. So this is a cookie. I got the recipe more than 20 years ago from a Paris baker, Pierre Hermé. And at that time, I published it in a book in 2002 called Paris Sweets, and we called the cookie the Kurova cookie because he had made it for a restaurant in Paris called Kurova. And it's a chocolate cookie, kind of a cross between a shortbread and a chocolate chip cookie. It's dark, dark chocolate made with cocoa, has pieces of chocolate in it, and it has some salt in it, which was just, you know, a revolutionary at the turn of the century. And I loved the cookie, and a neighbor of mine, just as I was getting ready to turn in my manuscript for baking from my home to yours, a neighbor of mine said, you know those chocolate cookies with the funny name? I said, yeah. He said, whatever that name is, that's not what we call them. We call them world peace cookies, because if all the world had these cookies, peace would reign.
Wow.
And so I republished the cookie under the name World Peace Cookie. And the recipe is all, if you Google it, World Peace Cookie, you'll find it. And it's an extraordinarily good cookie. And it's a slice and bake. It's, you know, an icebox cookie. So it's easy to make and so delicious.
We're talking to Dori Greenspan about baking in a time of safer at home orders right now. Now, Dori, a thing I don't think I've ever talked to you about, but I found it on your website. A lot of people are maybe baking right now for the first time. Your first kitchen experiment didn't go well. Can you share that story with us to let people know that, hey, however bad it goes, it probably went better than Dori Greenspan's first try?
Oh, it probably went better indeed. So I was with friends, and I was in seventh grade, and we wanted to make frozen French fries. And so we didn't read the back of the box, and we didn't know it was supposed to go in the oven. So I put a big pot of oil up to boil on the stove. And the only thing I remembered from science class was that water boils faster if you put a cover on the pot. So I put a cover on the pot of oil. And when I lifted the cover, the flames were just, they were beautiful, and they were dangerous.
Oh, no.
And yeah, and that was my parents' newly renovated kitchen that was on fire. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I wasn't allowed to cook or bake it. Well, I never baked then. I wasn't allowed back in the kitchen. And I started cooking and baking as a college student. I got married as a college student. And that's when I started and just found – it's interesting. I was thinking about this recently. I loved cooking, and I had to cook because, you know, we had no money. We couldn't go out, you know, and I was excited about learning to cook. But I learned to bake for the comfort of it. Even then, I've been thinking about this a lot because, of course, many of us are baking for comfort now. I would come home from school and I would bake. Later, I would go, you know, I'd have a job and I'd, you know, work like mad. And I would come home and baking was what relaxed me. And then I went to graduate school and worked. And I would come home from school and work and I would bake. And I've been thinking about it because all through my life, baking has been a way to just focus, to center, to have a moment to think about things, to take pleasure in we use all your senses when you're baking. And so to take pleasure in actually making something. And all of that feels so important now.
Dory, for people who are making that first trip into the kitchen, apart from not setting that cauldron of oil on fire, what is a good first step for baking where, you know, it's likely they're going to be successful, they'll have an easy win to point to in their first try?
Do you know, just go to the, I mean, I've according to somebody who actually added up all of my recipes, I have more than 3,000 recipes in print, but I would tell you, go. Just if you've never baked before, grab a bag of chocolate chips and follow the recipe on the back of the bag. It's foolproof, and you will feel so good that you have made something. I mean, I have a bunch of recipes I'd be happy to give you. But if you've never baked before, make some chocolate chip cookies. They're fun to make. The house will smell good. You'll be so happy that you've done that
is a great way to start. And now you did share a recipe with us, the Cabin Fever caramel banana bars. This one's from Dory's Cookies. Cabin Fever, anything with that in the title sounds like a good cookie to make, or a bar, I guess, to make right now. What's the story behind these guys?
Well, actually, I made these cookies when the second blizzard in 6 days hit Connecticut. And I had cabin fever. I also had one overripe banana. And so that's how I made this recipe. And in wanting to share a recipe with you, I thought, this is the perfect one. There's no blizzard, but I think a lot of us have cabin fever.
Definitely. Now, tell us a little bit about what goes into this, apart from that maybe a little bit overripe banana.
That, well, yes, you, and actually it's the riper the better for this. So I make a quick little caramel by just melting some brown sugar and butter together. And it's a very simple recipe. It gets a little bit of, so it's flour and not much flour. I mean, it's only a cup of flour. Flour is at a premium these days,
right.
At least it is, you know, here. So it's, you know, the typical flour and sugar. I add some cardamom, but you can use any. You could use cinnamon or nutmeg if you want it. And it's got just a little bit of sour cream or yogurt in it for that tang. And I do a topping. Well, I had salted peanuts, and so it's optional. But there are peanuts in the cookie, so it's a bar, so it's really like a tender cake that's cut into small bars. And then if you've got some chocolate in the house, you can just swipe it over the top and put some peanuts over that. So it's got caramel and a little bit of spice and that tang from the yogurt and the sweetness from banana and chocolate. It's really a great bar, and it's super simple to make.
Dory Greenspan is with us, author of several cookbooks, including Everyday Dory and Dory's Cookies. We've got, by the way, that banana caramel bar, the Cabin Fever caramel banana bar, up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Dory is with us to talk about baking projects during the time of Safer at Home. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you getting into baking for the first time right about now, or are you getting back into baking? Do you have a comfort food that you like to bake, that you enjoy baking and hopefully also enjoy eating? Do you need some advice? Do you have a question? Do you need some inspiration? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time or the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're talking about baking projects from beginner to advanced that you can do while you're at home. Dori Greenspan is with us, well-known baker and cook and author of all manner of cookbooks, including Everyday Dori and Dori's Cookies. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What have you, if anything, been baking lately? What are you baking right now? If you got it in the oven and you could take a minute for a phone call, are you getting into it for the first time or maybe re-nurturing a love of baking? Are you having to ad lib a little bit because you don't have the ingredients, don't want to make that trip to the grocery store for just the one thing? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find a recipe for Dori's Cabin Fever Caramel Banana Bars over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's go to your calls now. Chip is with us in Stoughton. Chip, hello.
Hello. Yes, I'm calling from Stoughton.
Yeah, what do you got for us, Chip?
Well, ever since I was a kid, my neighbor mother, she was from Holland, and she would bake a chocolate cake with apricot filling in two layers. So she would cut, it into. I guess it would be three or four layers, and she would put apricot preserves in two of the layers, and then buttercream frosting in the middle, and of course across the top and sides, and it's just the most wonderful moist cake. I bake one about every 6 months, and I can eat that whole cake by myself in 2 days.
Fantastic. Chip, thank you so much for sharing it with us. A good memory,
so good.
For one thing there, Dori, and it sounds fantastic, too. Have you encountered anything like that? I've never done chocolate and apricot together, I don't think.
You know, Chip, when you started to talk about it, it made me think of the Austrian Sachertorte, one cake cut in half with apricot jam in the center and a chocolate glaze over. But that's I love chocolate and apricot together. What a nice story. Thank you.
Sounds like a great combination, Chip. Thank you for sharing that with us. We'll go to Pamela now in Sturgeon Bay. Pamela, hi.
Hi. Good to talk to you. Great show. Loving the baking stuff.
Yeah, what are you baking, Pamela?
Well, yesterday I made peanut butter bread, and it was based on a recipe from the Depression, from a Depression-era cookbook. Which I ran into it, an article online, and thought this is really cool. So actually, mine actually turned out to be a combination of cashew butter, peanut butter, and almond butter, since I have not all those things. And there's no oil and no eggs in it, just baking powder, flour, peanut butter, and some milk.
Wow, super easy. Is it good, Pamela?
It's delicious. Oh, a little bit of sugar too. It's delicious. It turned out. Better than I would have thought it would have, but it came recommended, so I gave it a roar, and it's really yummy.
Oh, how nice. I have a question. Was it baked in a loaf pan?
Yes, it's a quick bread.
It is a quick bread. Yeah, you would think with all that, the fat from the nut butters, that would just be delicious. I could see why you don't need butter in it. What a nice idea.
That sounds really good, Pamela. Thanks for calling. She mentioned that, using the Depression-era cookbook, and I wanted to ask you, Dori, we're seeing a lot of people raise the questions of, I want to bake, but I'm out of eggs, or I want to bake, but I'm out of whatever. Do you have some suggestions on what is safe to substitute in making, cookies and quick breads and things like that?
Well, so there have been recently, I always tease and say that it's not cheese, it's the truth. I took both science and math for poets when I was in college. So the fact that I'm a baker is kind of remarkable because science is not my strong point. So the substitutions are something. But there have recently been a number of really good articles talking about substitutions. Today, in today's New York Times, and it's the Times is by subscription, but this is available to everyone. There's a story by Erin Jean McDowell, a wonderful pastry chef, about flour substitutions. And I know flour has really been in short supply. People are using aquafaba from chickpeas in place of eggs. There are, but this is something I feel completely unqualified, but to give one for one advice. But there are a lot of people right now who are doing some very, very helpful lists of substitutions.
That's
flour
fantastic.
Flour has been hard to come by, and a lot of people have been able to find gluten-free flour that you can use as a one-to-one. One cup of regular flour would be the same as one cup of gluten-free flour. And that, for some reason, has not been in short supply. So that's a good sub for all-purpose flour.
Thanks again for that call, Pamela, at 800-642-1234. It's Food Friday. Dori Greenspan is with us, giving us some advice and inspiration and recipes on some comfort baking when we're often just stuck at home. Dori, I saw a recipe you had in the New York Times, and correct me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, gougères?
Very nicely done.
Nice.
Yes, gougères.
Tell us about these. This was a new one to me. It looked really good in the picture, though, I'll say.
This is one of my all-time favorite things to make. So gougères are cheese puffs. The dough is a pâte à choux. It's a cream puff dough, the exact same dough you would use for éclair. So it's a dough that's not sweet nor savory. You make it either sweet or savory. And with gougères, you make the dough, and you add cheese to it. And in that recipe, I added cheese, mustard, and nuts, which is very unusual. It's a French recipe. We think that its origins are in Burgundy, and it's often served when you go to a French restaurant, and one day we will again be able to go to French restaurants. Particularly in Burgundy, you would get a kir, which is white wine and creme de cassis, and a gougère as something to just whet your appetite, welcome you to the meal. And I've been making gougère for, I don't know, maybe 25 years. And you can freeze the dough. As soon as you make the dough and you scoop out the little balls, the little puffs, they can go directly in the freezer, and then they can go from the freezer to the oven without defrosting. And so I make a batch, I put them in the freezer, and as soon as friends come, I have them in the oven. The people knock on the door, they open the door, you can smell the warm cheese, the fragrance coming out of the kitchen, and then I serve them hot with white wine. And so I wrote about gougère because I'm thinking both back and forward. I'm thinking of all the good times that I had having friends come home for dinner, and I'm looking forward to doing it again. And so when I wrote that I make gougère as an act of faith, I make gougère and I put them in the oven because I have faith that we'll be together again.
That's fantastic. I love that story. Now, I hear gougère, it's a French name, and I think, oh, it's going to be too fancy for a simple fellow like Rob to make. Is it not that tricky, though?
Cheese puffs. That's what they are. Yeah, so it's actually, the dough is fascinating. It's the only dough I know that you first cook on the stove and then pop in the oven. So it's really, the thing about baking, I've always felt this way, it's really easier than cooking. And I've met so many people who say, oh, I'm afraid of baking. It's so precise. It's so scientific.
Yeah,
the thing is, if you have a good recipe, you follow it. It's unlike cooking where it might say season to taste, or you need you know, there are so many judgment calls in cooking. In baking, if the recipe is solid and you follow it, you'll be successful. And so Gougère are just follow the recipe. You can do it, Rob.
Maybe I'll try this one. I do have that mild fear of baking exactly because of the precision, but maybe I should give it a shot. I'll have some time this weekend.
Even when something doesn't come out just the way the picture looks, it's usually delicious. The ingredients that you use for baking are so good that you put them together, you put them in the oven. Maybe you didn't bake it enough. Maybe you baked it a little bit too much. Maybe it's just a little lopsided. It's usually always delicious.
Well, Dori, it's been a lot of fun, and I hope you can pull those gougères out of the freezer for visiting friends sometime pretty soon.
Thank you. And I hope you make them and enjoy them this weekend. It's been great to talk to you. Thank you.
You too. That's Dori Greenspan, baker and cook. She's written a bunch of cookbooks. They include Everyday Dori and Dori's Cookies. She joined us to talk about baking projects you can tackle while you're at home.